Anyway, I'm going to the sermon right here. The message I have to you, please turn with me in the book, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's so many pieces in the chapter about love. And, you know, God used Paul especially to teach us about love. A lot of time we read and we did not put to practice. But let's put to practice this morning here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we look in verse 7. Okay? Verse 7. Bear all things, we talk about that. Believe all things, 2 weeks ago we talked about that. Hope all things and endure all things. Today we talk about love is to hope all things. What does it mean love? It's always hope. How can there be hope when we live in this world that's hopeless? Turn with me into the book of Jeremiah. For those who learn to understand Vietnamese, that's the first lesson. Jeremiah, chapter 8, verse 15. Jeremiah, chapter 8, verse 15. It says this, we look for peace, but no good came. And for the time held, there was trouble. The Bible says, when we call find peace, there's no peace. When we seek, we couldn't find healing. The Bible said, this Jeremiah said that we live in the world. He lived in a society that other nation come drag the Israelite going to everywhere and be slave. And he say they call out peace and no peace. And they are sick, they are dying, there's no one come and help. Turn another text with me in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 27, verse 20. The setting is this, that they captures Paul to send him to Rome. And while they go to Rome, they travel on a boat, and he was chained, and they would travel on a boat and hear what happened. The storm, it's just breaking the boat apart. Verse 20, this is what Paul said here. Is recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 27, verse 20. Now, when neither sun nor star appeared for many days, can you imagine? You in the middle of the sea. There's no sun. There's no star. But what did make it worse? And no more tempest beat on it. That means a lot of wind, storm. It hit on the boat, and this small boat, it hit on every side. And guess what? This is what it said. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. People was in the boat. They crying out. No one listened. Can you imagine? The boat is traveling on the sea, darkness, many days, and this tempest and storm, thunder, beat them the boat left and right, and it's breaking the boat apart. They feel that this is it, I'm going to die. This is what the situation I want to draw you to. We live in the world just like that. We live in an economic crisis. We live in a problem with the society. We live in the disease epidemic. Matter of fact, just a week ago, 2 people died 3 days apart. One in Seattle and one in San Diego, and all struck with cancers. Disease coming upon this world, there's no cure. What about jobs? What about home? What about family broken apart? Yes, you can say that, yes, we live in the world. Hopeless. You know, some of you students, I want to add to the student too. Now, when you graduate, you think you can have a job? And I don't want you to inject that to you and you will not go to school. But you know what? I'm telling you, it's not easy to find a job nowadays. I was graduated back in 1987 as engineering. Well, it's not too long ago. Not that long. And so many of my friends, their GPA is 2.7. And they got a job right away. Matter of fact, they're craving for them to come to work an engineering job. As today, you know, you might graduate for 3.5, you might not even get a job. My friend, we live in the world, it's so different. It's not easy. It's very hard. But Paul recorded, love is hope all things. How can we have hope? How can we have hope in this society? How can we have hope in the relationship? How can we have hope in the family? How can we have hope? Well, let me share with you some of the story in the Bible that help us to understand about this. Turn with me about how God worked with the Israelite. Turn with me in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 13. Now you know the Israelite very well. God have delivered them into of the land of milk and honey. That means you can grow anything in that land. All the blessings come up of that land. And guess what? The Israelite forsake their Lord, their God. And recorded here, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. This very text is helping me say that the Lord still have hope on his people even though they forsook him. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know how many times. I mean, after I read in the Old Testament, I tried to keep track how many times the Israelites tried to, you know, after the Lord delivered them, cried to the Lord and God helping them, and they forsake God and they go on and on. I couldn't keep track anymore. It's so many times, you cannot number. So many people, even today, reject God. And when something's wrong in the family, in the school, in their work, they ask God and God help them. They come back to church a few days and they're forgetting about God again. So many people. But the Lord said this, I still have hope in you. I still have hope in my people. You see, love is hope all things, even though there's no hope or seem like hopeless. But God have hope in the Israelite, and God also have hope in you and I today. He have hope, my friend. That's why Jesus come down this earth to die for those people, even curse at him, he still have hope. When Jesus walked on this earth, he thought I forsook. I would come to this world. I'm going to select out my disciple. I would spend time with them for 3.5 years. I would do all the miracle they have not seen, even rescue a dead person to come alive. He'd do everything he could. But when the day he died, all his disciples ran away. Now, do you think Jesus still have hope? Yes, he still have hope. He still have hope in Peter, even though Peter denied him 3 times. He still have hope Peter will start the church. He have hope in his people, my friend, even though there seem to be no hope. While he left, hit close to home about, you have hope in your friend, in your spouse, in your parent, in your children. That's what the love chapter is all about. Do you have hope? You know, there's a time that God provides a wonderful relationship. But there's a time we make mistake. And we cried out to God, God, I make mistake and I want to come back to you. And God said, yes, you come back and I help you. You know, first thing I want to talk about relationship is very important. The book of Proverbs says, choose a friend, especially a long-lasting friend. You know, don't go to a bar to find a friend, you know. Maybe a casual talk, but not a friend you spend your life with. But sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we fall in love to someone who are different faith than ours. And the Bible even mentioned about when I read in the book of Joshua and Judges, I see that God said, you know, when you went into the land of Canaan with milk and honey, make sure do not let your children marry to those heathen. Now, God said, yeah, I love all these heathen. We need to witness to them, but do not marry. Do you think the Israelites obey? Oh, no. They don't obey. They say, you know, God, you know, yeah, well, there's not too many women in this church to select from. Not too many men that I feel comfortable with. And so we start to look elsewhere. That's what the Israelites did. You know, when they go into another nation, so, wow, all these women, you know, they have so much makeup. All those jewelry, wow, it's different from my people. You see, they start to look something different, and they start to mingle. And guess what? When they start to mingle, they say, you know what? They decide to spend their life with them. And guess what? When they start to mingle, guess what? The faith have changed. The king of Solomon, the wisest man in his time, married to heathen, and he have so many idols in his kingdom. You know, when you marry someone, you start to absorb the faith, the doctrine, the belief, and it affect your life. So that sometimes people make mistakes. I agree. No doubt about it. But when you make mistakes, doesn't mean that you will decide to divorce that person. I'm talking about when you make this decision for marriage, you know, and this is early stage for some of you. It's very important. When you make mistake, you will have scar for life. But you have to live with it. You cannot reject it. That's your mistake. But you still have hope. The book of the First Corinthians say that hope all things. You will hope for your loved one will come to Christ. You will hope for the loved one will change. Will you hope for your loved one will stop smoking and drinking on and on? You have to have hope. That's what love all about. You have to have hope. See, God still have hope for us. So many people reject. Even God say this. You know, Jesus Christ on the cross say, forgive them. When they nail them on the cross, forgive them for they know not what they did. God said, forgive us. He have hope for his people to come back to him. So you should have hope in your relationship. But when you make a decision for marriage, it's very important. Do not marry to unbeliever. That's a hope in relationship. Those who have a problem relationship, read this text over and over. You still have a hope. God wants you to have that hope. God will save that person. If you continue to pray, God open doors. How about your parent? Is your parent in church today? Do you have hope for your parent? I know some of you have hope. You pray every day about it. If your parent have not believed in God, have not sitting in this church today, you have hope. God say, hope all things. Hope that your parents will know Christ. What about those who are older? What about your children? Is your children in church today? Is your children accept Christ today? Is your children walking the way of righteousness? If not, Paul say, you must have hope. You must have hope. Remember the story of prodigal son? The younger son decided to take all of his money and is wasted. He traveled in a far country. He decided leaving home. He don't believe living in his parent roof. All these rules, do's and don'ts. Does that sound familiar? Some people run away from home like that. I don't want to hear all about this. I don't want to hear, I coming home and they say, you don't do this and you do that. He decided to leave the home. He better have freedom in the world. No one tell him what to say, do. No one keep track of his curfew hour. That's what he did. He enjoyed life, but he didn't know that he wastes his life. He didn't know that his father, as his home, is hoping for him to return. His father waiting for one day. He didn't see him return home. Wait for 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, many years. How do we know that? Because from far away, the father already see him and he ran toward his son. Because the father have hope. My friend, if we have hope, we will see God do a miracle. Do not lose hope. Do not lose hope. There's a woman living in the village. Have quite a big home. And she always light her light up at night after sunset. Long ago, she and her son have argument, and the son left home. And the son have left home for 25 years. How many of you are around 25 years? I mean, that long. 25 years. It's a long time. But she, every single night, she lit up the light and waiting for her son to come home. Every single night. My friend, that's what she hoped for. She always hoped. She believed and she prayed about it. One of our church members, some of you know, is Mrs. Ling of Sun. Some of you call Go Dao. Probably some of the older people will know. She, for many years, like 15 years ago, when I visit her, she cried out to me. You know, every single night she wait for her son to come home. Her son during that time is in high school. Matter of fact, at that time, age around 16, he able to drive a car. And he, when he able to drive a car, he come in very late. The mom wait to see her son get home, then she goes to sleep. She find peace when her son's home safely. There's a time that her son come home so late, but the policeman came. He said, "Your son in a car accident." The family and I rushed to the hospital. They were able to break the car, the door of the car, and be able to save his life. Many times, she prayed for many years for her son to come back to God. And God answered her prayer. He obeyed, go to a Navy. And you know him right now, his tree. You know his name. He's here and he's doing very well. Matter of fact, he takes care of his parent right now. Buy a home to take care of his parent. Do not lose hope. Your spouse, your parent, or your children. So that's what Paul tried to teach us, that there's a hope text I want to share with you here. It's very important. Turn with me the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 17. 31, verse 17. Do you know this text? Oh, yes. When the Israelites were separated, they were captured, they were taken to no man land, and they don't even see their homeland anymore. How do you like that? People come and take your home and push you away, you don't even see your home. That's what the people of God crying out for. Verse 17 says, there is hope in the future, say the Lord. The Lord say to the people, say, there's hope that your children shall come back to your own border. Praise the Lord. Sometime when we left our home, sometime the devil take us away and we cried about it, our family. We cried about our home. We cried about our job. God said that, don't worry, I will take you home. And maybe it's not in our time frame, but your children will come home. Your children will come home. My friend, that's why we need to continue pray. I need to continue pray for my parents, my family, my brother and sister. We need to pray. I know every one of you, probably someone in your family
extended family that doesn't know Christ, that they need to know Jesus.
Or someone in your family, there's problem in the marriage. Some family have problem in parents and children. You probably know about it. There's time maybe you lost hope, but God say, have hope and pray about it, and God will bless you.
Turn with me in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13.
This is a very known text that people use it quite often when comfort a loved one who passed away.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren.
This is what Paul said. I don't want you, the church, be ignorant about something.
About what?
Concerning those who have fallen asleep. Concerning those who already passed away. Your loved one, your parent, your children. Lest you sorrow as other who have what?
No hope.
As a Christian, we should have hope. We do have hope. Not like the people outside. You know, when I go to different funerals, they cry all the time. Even after a month, they're still crying. Oh, no, you passed away. Why you leave me? Why, God, you take away? They don't have any hope. And when you don't have any hope, you start to pray for someone else. Not up to God anymore. And when your loved one coming back to talk to you, you start to speak into the dead. You know what I'm talking about? That's where the heathen start to absorb all these philosophy. And guess what? They're going farther and farther away, too far away from God. But we are different. The Christian have hope that those who already die in Christ, who are dying in Christ, who are asleep. If you're asleep, that means what? You'll be wake up at the resurrection morning. My friend, we should have hope. That's what Paul said, do not cry for our loved one who passed away. Like others, don't have hope. We are the people who need to have hope. We should rejoice. Why? The Bible says so. Turn with me in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoice in hope. You know, when you find things hopelessness in your home, in your marriage, in work, in school. But God said, rejoice. Rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continue steadfastly in prayer. My friend, that's what God said. Continue.
As I read the book, Great Controversy, I'm just wondering, how can the early Christian willing to die for their faith? And I find out, because they have hope in Jesus Christ.
Because to them, death is just a what?
Asleep.
Just asleep.
That's why they're willing to risk their faith. They're willing to risk their faith to have this Bible in your hand, in my hand today.
We shall carry the hope that the forefather of the Christian faith.
As I conduct the funeral in Seattle on last Sunday, the man is 72 years old, and I asked him as I close his end of his life, I say, you know what, you still study the Bible, even though in your weakness, your sickness, you still study the Bible. And when he have strength, I able to took him to different places like seminar that he liked. He listened to seminar, the preaching intensely, and he write everything he can.
70 plus years old.
And even go to different booth, all those convention, and he started to buy these material.
70 plus years old.
And I saw him pull out cash, $500 bill, to buy the whole set of the footsteps of Paul and of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to learn about it. I said, why? You know, you're 70 years old, and you serve God, and that's why we know, but you study so hard. And he said, you know what? Because I didn't know Christ until later in my life. He didn't know Christ until like 60 years plus. And he said, you know what? I need to catch up in my study. I need to learn everything that you, Pastor, learn. I want to learn. I'm envy, you know, those people. Young people, same thing. He's 70 years old. He still want to learn. He spent night and day and read the Bible and write and study everything he can because he's missing all that. Matter of fact, he sings some Christian hymnal. He loves it so much that he don't know about music. He started to buy an instrument and start to practice and start playing in church. And so, why are you doing that? Oh, I love these music. I want to sing. But his hope is this, that he will, that his hope is want to see all four of his children know the faith that he have joined. Four of his children accept Jesus Christ. That's what his hope. And he asked me to pray about it. Well, 5 months passed and the cancer took over his life. Only one children who seem accept Jesus Christ, who could decided to do the funeral service just exactly from the Word of God, from the Bible. And I quote him the text, even the children text as well. In family, if there's one saved, all will be saved. And I tell those young boys, and not so young, as younger than I am, but those, they have family already. I say, you know what? That's what your father is. He accepted Christ, and he believed in that text, say that one saved, and family will be saved. That means God will work with you until you be saved. So the children break into tears and start seeking for the faith of their father have walked. My friend, that's what hope all about. Hope for our loved one to come back to Christ. Hope that we in the marriage to stay together. Hope for family, father, mother, and children all work well together. Hope that you in school, that you have friends with the teachers, all that together. Hope that you in workplace, everything fit together. That's what love is all about. We don't want to live in the world that hatred is going on every single day. You don't want to walk in a home after school that hear your parents argue. You don't want to live in the world when you walk in the workplace that people want to win things or want to step over you to climb in the corporate ladder. We want to live in the world that's full of love. And Jesus Christ has demonstrated that. He has still hope in his disciple, even though his disciple forsook him. But because he have hope, he prayed for his disciple before he passed away. I mean, before they crucify him. He prayed for his disciple that they would be united. He prayed that the devil would not come into the midst to rip them apart. My friend, the same prayer still ring upon our church today. That prayer that we have hope that we be united to build a mission center for God. We'll be united such a way that the devil cannot come to this church to rip us apart. That's what our Jesus Christ prayer is all about. So as you take home the very message today, love is all we hope. Even though you feel like there's hopeless, but there's hope beyond the tunnel of darkness. There's a ray of light waiting for you. And when the resurrection morning is come upon us very close, when Jesus coming back, the ray of hope come to this world to take us all home. So you and I every day believe all things, faith all things, and hope in all things. May God bless each one of you.